I like this history. This is, there's so many good, I don't know, good things to learn about faithfulness in the Old Testament. And then faithfulness in people that you just, I don't know, that just wouldn't think are faithful. And particularly that, you know, the nation of Israel would not consider these people faithful necessarily. But Hebrews 11 is all about by faith what people did. And this is pre-Jesus Christ, before the new covenant is instituted, before Jesus Christ appears on the earth and was born as a man. And so this is what faith looked like, Old Testament. And I think, just be careful how you think about faith. I think we, and to some degree it's rightfully so to think about faith in connection to Jesus Christ, because that's really what it's connected to at this point. That's who it's connected to. But to think that faith was a new thing under Paul, or it was a new idea, and now everybody's being dealt with by faith, that's not biblical. Faith is something that was always at work. People always had to trust God. There was always that requirement of, when the Lord speaks, His words are light and life, and it is the people's responsibility to accept and incorporate those words into their lives. And that was the faithful response of the people. And so Hebrews 11, verse 31 talks about the faith of a lady who is a prostitute, at least in her old life. And so on top of that, she is not of the house of Israel. She is an outsider. And so in all of these different ways, I would say the nation of Israel would consider her, particularly the group of Pharisees, they would consider her just not a part of God's people. And the irony is, God considers her part of His people because of her faith, because of how she responds. Unlike a lot of the Israelites who didn't respond this way. So Hebrews 11, in general, it is highlighting one thing, faith. That is, God speaks and then people respond, and the application of that faith is different. It's so interesting that, in this list you have people who have children as a response, as a faithful response, or as a consequence of having faith, and then people who are martyred as a response and as a consequence of faith. So there's all these different applications of it. But it's all faithfulness. It's all about faithfulness. Rahab in particular, so it's not, it's not rich, poor, it's not mighty or lowly people. All sorts of people make this list. And the differences are the applications of faith, and as we talked about, righteousness is what comes by faith, and even before the cross, there's just various applications of that faith depending on who you are. And I would say there's various applications of it even now. Your faith is based on Jesus Christ, but if you're a young person, your faith looks like something. If you're an older person, the faith looks like something. If you're a parent, your faith looks like something. If you're a child, your faith looks like something. And so there's different applications. It's all based on Jesus Christ and honoring what Jesus Christ did, and looking forward to the future hope in Jesus Christ. But it's all faithfulness and applied different ways. In this case, you've got Rahab, and here's the verse that we're talking about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perish not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. So this is the story. I'm not going to read you the whole story in Joshua. I'll just tell it to you what's happening. As the nation of Israel goes into the promised land, the very first town they encounter is Jericho. And in Jericho, this is the first sort of bulwark, the first place, the first city that they encounter. And the Lord says, take Jericho, sends them in, and they're going to walk around and all that stuff, walk around the walls. They're not going to fight. They're not going to shoot bows and arrows or anything. They're going to walk around the walls for 7 days. The walls come falling down, all that kind of thing. That's the story. You know, that's the history of it. And so Jericho is one of the first towns the Israelites encounter going into the promised land. In that town, there are obviously people that live there. One of the people that lives there is named Rahab. Rahab does not have a good profession as far as working environment, as far as employment. She's a harlot and red light district type thing. And so she lives there, and her house is on the wall. And before Israel goes into this city, they send a couple spies, and the spies get into town, and how they come into contact with Rahab, they eventually come into contact with Rahab, who is sympathetic to Israel as far as she's heard, just like all of the people in Jericho have heard what God had done for Israel in Egypt, and then in moving through the wilderness, things like that. And so Israel's heard about, or the Jericho has heard about Israel and Israel's God. And Rahab believes that Israel has the right God. She believes in the God of Israel. And so she takes these spies and she hides them. And while she's doing this, she takes the spies in, and then the leadership in Jericho, king and leadership, they hear that there's spies in town, and so they try to find the spies, and they're hidden in Rahab's house, and the law enforcement goes to Rahab's house and says, you know, where are these spies? And she says, well, they're down the road somewhere, and all that. Reality is she's hiding them. And when the law enforcement leaves, she gets the spies out, but they've made an agreement. Rahab and Israel, these Israelite spies, have made an agreement that when Israel takes the city, protect Rahab and her family. And so the Israelites say, all right, gather up whoever you're going to gather up, put them in your house, and then hang a red cord out from your window, and we'll know that's your house, and we'll deliver that house from destruction. And so Rahab does this. She after hides the spies, she, you know, lets down the red cord. She gathers up her family and lets down this red rope, red cord. And as Israel walks around the city, the walls come down, and then Israel essentially destroys the city. God destroys the city, really. And everybody's destroyed except Rahab and her house. In the New Testament, the explanation for all of that is, well, Rahab is faithful. Rahab actually has faith because she believes the God of Israel. Whereas really anybody, I guess, in Jericho could believe the God of Israel, but not everybody did, just Rahab did. And so there's several things that are described in Rahab's life that really highlight for you and I what faith is, what does it do, what's it supposed to do, how's it supposed to work in your life. And so that's what I want to really focus on this morning as best we can here. So first of all, this verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, in this series of by faith, by faith, by faith, you get to verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So faith is responsive. That's the first thing to understand. It is a response to God, particularly the God of Israel. It's hearing and then believing. What did Rahab hear that she responded to? Well, she had heard that God is sending the Israelites into this promised land that he's promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, the descendants there, and he's sending Israel in there. And all along the way now, he's proven that this is what's going to happen. Israel is going into this promised land. He's miraculously delivered them out of Egypt. Along the way, they had a couple battles with some kings who they destroyed. And now they're approaching Jericho. And Rahab's heard all this. She knows this is true. And so she believes the God of Israel. In fact, she'll say that in Joshua. You know, we all know your God is the triumphant God here. And so we're all afraid. Our city is afraid, but nobody is going to react the way she does. So. But faith is responsive. Rahab believes the word of God that she knows. That's in Joshua chapter 2, really verses like 1 through 12. She explains her belief. She explains why she's doing what she's doing. It's because she believes the God of Israel. And just like Paul would explain it in Romans, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And it's this response. So what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so what is the substance? What is it produced in her life? What's the response that she has? Well, the response is in this verse that she hides these spies. That's putting her own life at risk. That is, which we'll talk about in a second. But that's the response. It's substance, it's evidence, and Rahab's belief couldn't just be in her mind. I try to emphasize this over and over because I think a lot of people have this idea about faith in Jesus Christ that is literally an imaginary thing. It literally only exists in your mind. But it never only exists in people's mind in the Bible. It always has some evidence. It always has some substance to it, just like it does here in Rahab's life. What was the substance? Well, she risks her life. She hides these spies because she fully believes that the God of Israel is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. So this is the substance of Rahab's belief. It's in God's words. This is what it is. And it has to be substantive. I'll ask you this question. So if you just look at Jericho now, how many people believed that Israel was actually going to possess the promised land and really destroy the town of Jericho? How many people believe that in Jericho? I don't know. You don't know because there's no evidence to support anyone else believed it. They all might have been afraid, but none of them did anything about it. Rahab is the only one that does something about this. And so faith is, first of all, it's responsive. It's a response to something. It's a response to the words of God, the work of God. It's this response. So the verse says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. And it's going to tell you what she did. It's responsive. The second thing I notice in this little verse here about Rahab's faith, and the whole thing, it reminds me of when Jesus said, he said the publicans and the sinners enter into the kingdom of God before you, when he's talking to the religious leaders. The publicans and the sinners enter in. This is an example of that. And it's not just, don't get the idea that just being a sinner makes you, okay, if I just admit I'm a sinner, that's great. That's what God's looking for. What he's looking for is a response. Your faith should instruct you in holiness and goodness and righteousness. It's not just, again, not just an imaginary thing. So the second point is that I see in this verse, it says that by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. So it was deliverance. Her faith caused her deliverance from this destruction, this terrible destruction. And you can relate that to a couple things. God's words are our life. If you believe, God's words are life. They are light. They bring life. Jesus Christ would say that multiple times. And so the words of God are like a life preserver that you hold on to, and this is what saves your life. And so Rahab, her faith brings about rescue. It delivers her. When you go to the Old Testament and read this story, some of these things don't necessarily pop out at you, but when you put all the pieces together, it's really a cool picture. When Rahab, it's mentioned that her house is on the wall. When Rahab is hiding and helping her family, he brings in her family, rolls out this red rope, and the walls come falling down. You sing that in Sunday school, you know, and the walls came tumbling down, that deal. Well, Rahab's house is on the wall. So I just picture this in this scenario in Jericho. The walls fall down everywhere except where Rahab's house is. The only thing left standing, and the only reason her house is left standing, is because of her faith. The only reason people are rescued in her family is because of her faith. Faith brings about rescue. Why? Because the words of God are life. Now, I say that to say also, anybody in Jericho could have believed God. This didn't have to be just uniquely Rahab. Anyone could have done this. And Rahab really isn't anyone. She isn't just an anybody. Anyone could believe this. Anyone could trust the God of Israel and say, yeah, the Israelites are coming into this promised land, and this was land that's been given to their descendants and all of that stuff. And so Rahab's... Her faith brings about deliverance, and it could have brought about deliverance for anybody, truly. But she's separated from the people that are perishing. The difference that's made in her life is what she believes about God's words. That's the thing, and I cannot emphasize that enough. The difference is not who Rahab is, not what her profession is, not the fact that she's a heathen, according to Israel, not the fact that she's a woman, not the fact that any of those things, none of those things matter. The thing that matters is, what did she do with the words of God? And that's the thing that matters. Why? Because the words of God are life and their deliverance. And just like anybody in Jericho could have acknowledged that, yes, Israel's coming into this land, Rahab actually does it, and she risks her life for it, hides these spies, houses her family, and at the end of the day, her and her family are the only ones left alive out of this whole thing. Why? Because she trusted the God of Israel. And when it comes to faith, there's just, like Paul would say, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's just no difference. It's whether you trust what God said or not. So two things so far. You've got faith. First of all, it's a response. Second thing is faith is something that brings about rescue. It's deliverance. It's life. Why? Because you're clinging to these words of life. You're clinging to what God said, and their light and their life, and you grab hold of them, and thereby you get life. Third thing I notice about Rahab's life, and you got to read a little bit in the Old Testament to get to this point here. It's mentioned about her profession. Her profession is mentioned. And I think it's mentioned because that's what she was, but it's also highlighted to show you that faith is the important thing, not, again, what she did or things like that, but what she did with God's words are important. And as you read in Rahab's life, Rahab survives this destruction in Jericho, and her family survives this destruction in Jericho. And when she comes out of all of that, you read in Joshua and, well, even Matthew has the record of it. But Rahab ends up marrying one of the men from Judah. And what's said about her life later on is that she did not conduct business the way she conducted business before. She was a prostitute, but after the deliverance and after what happened in Jericho, she gets married. She's going to have some children. And her life is completely different. What's the point of that with faith? Well, faith is a renewal. It's a new life. Even in the Old Testament, it's a new life. It's supposed to be a new thing in Jesus Christ for sure. As Paul would say, you know, it's a new creature. All things are new in Jesus Christ. But faith is a renewal of the mind. It's a renewing. And her life was completely made new after this. Rahab saved from this destruction. And we find out later that her life of prostitution is over. Her old life is, and think about this, her old life is physically gone. All the remnants of the clientele she had, all of that stuff is gone. It's destroyed. It reminds me of when Paul talks about 1 Corinthians 3, judgment seat of Christ, all these things burn up. Well, she could literally watch her old life just burn up. The whole thing burned up. Literally watch the whole thing. Everything that wasn't founded on the God of Israel burned up. The only thing that was left standing was what was based on faith, faith in the God of Israel. So her life is completely new now. Her old life is gone. And that's an element of faith that you need to keep in mind. It's a renewal. It's new life. It's literally new life. For her, it is literally new life. Another thing, I got two more here. We'll wrap it up. Two more things. Faith sometimes appears risky. And there's a little irony to that. I think it's one of those things in the flesh. The body just says it's risky and makes it out to be risky. But the irony is that this sacrificial faith that appears more dangerous is actually going to be the safest route. What I mean by that is Rahab hiding spies and serving the God of Israel is actually the safest thing Rahab can do. Although it seems dangerous. I mean, she gets a knock at the door by law enforcement, and I mean, I'm sure she's scared and, you know, committing probably, you could call it treason against her own group of people, and so she's hiding these spies, and here comes this knock on the door from the law enforcement, and it just really seems like a risky thing to do. But the irony is, that's actually the safest thing you could do, is be on God's side of this, even though it looks like it's going to be a disaster, or it looks like it's going to be a terrible idea. And it looks risky in the moment. The safest thing to do is be on God's side of this. So Rahab's faith in God's word, you could say they ignored the threat that it produced. And you could say Rahab probably commits treason against Jericho at the risk of her own life. She sacrificed her life to trust what God said he would do. And that sounds all risky and dangerous, but the irony is that was the safest thing to do. In these situations like this, the safest place is to find yourself on God's side of it, what does God say about this? And land yourself there, wherever he said, whatever he said. And so faith appears, it appears risky. The irony of that is it's actually riskier to be unbelieving. That's the risky part. Last is this. And this is cool. I know most of you know this, but I want to show it to you anyway because I love this. I love this history. And I love how it brings out what God appreciates in people's lives. He appreciates faithfulness. He appreciates active faithfulness, this what it's producing in her life. It's life, it's renewal, it's all of these things. And it just, again, I love it's so contrary to what you would think you would find in a Hebrew or Jewish Bible. But this last thing, faith reconciles the sinner to God. Rahab has trusted the God of Israel. And Israel has now destroyed Jericho. Rahab's family that's something else we could talk about, but how her faith affects other people. And it did. But Rahab has brought her family into this deliverance. She has survived. Going forward, she ends up marrying into Judah's family, and which looks like she married one of the spies that she hid. That's kind of cool. She marries one of these spies, and then this is said. Look at Matthew chapter 1. I know, again, most of y'all have seen this, but for the sake of those who haven't, Matthew chapter 1. The genealogy of Jesus Christ. Before I go here and read this, how many of y'all are familiar with the little book in the Old Testament called Ruth? Y'all familiar with that book? All right. Are y'all familiar with the main character is Ruth, but sort of the hero the hero is Ruth, but the means of grace in that book is a man named Boaz. Are y'all familiar with Boaz in the book of Ruth? All right, long story short, Boaz is the son of Rahab. That's pretty interesting. Boaz apparently learned a lot from his mom. And then look at this. Look in Matthew chapter 1. Verse 5. Faith reconciles the sinner to God. Boy, does it ever. Boy, does it ever. So much so that now you have, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you have a lady who is a Canaanite, who was a harlot, who is, you know, all the stuff you could say negative about somebody. Particularly, the Jews could say negative about him. But look what it says. Verse 5. This is, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We'll just read it. Verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah's brother. Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begat Esrom. Esrom begat Aram. Aram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahson. Nahson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. David the king, Solomon, and so on. That's interesting. So Rahab is David's, what would that be? Great-great-grandmother. She's not Jewish. She's Canaanite. Her former life was prostitution. But faith changed all of that. It changed her whole life. It delivered her in whole life. It delivered her whole family. And it brought her into the family of God now. So Rahab goes on to be the great-great-grandmother of King David. And as you go through this, you find out this is the line of Jesus Christ. So this is where he comes from. When he's born, this is the line. And so Rahab's son, interestingly enough, is another famous person in Israelite history named Boaz. That's Rahab's son. That's pretty wild. That's neat. That's great. He's the redeemer in the book of Ruth. He's the kinsman redeemer. Now, I would say, just from Boaz's perspective, just a little side note here, I would say Boaz probably learned a little bit about redemption from his mom. He probably learned a little bit of the God of Israel and his nature and his compassion towards strangers. If they'll believe him, if they'll just listen to him, if they'll honor him in their lives, that the God of Israel is a good God. And so I'm sure that was passed on to Boaz, who becomes a very wealthy man and all of that, the great story with Boaz and Ruth. And I'm sure a lot of that came from his mom, Rahab. So just a few things about this. You got this short verse in Hebrews chapter 11 about Rahab's faith. By faith, Rahab was delivered and, you know, survived and all that kind of thing. But you got this short verse, and surely there could be more said about it, just like whoever wrote Hebrews 11 said, look, I could say more about all of these people's faith. I could say talk about this, I could talk about that, I could talk about that, but I just don't have time to write all of that stuff, and you don't have the patience to read it. And so here's Rahab's faith in just a little snippet, Hebrews 11:31. Here's what it did for this person. Here's her life. What was it? It was a response. Number one, faith is a response. So faith is responsive. It's not imaginary. That's the contrast. It's not just in your mind. It's not just, okay, I'm going to believe this. It's a response to what God said. That's what faith is. By faith, Rahab does something. Faith brings rescue. It's deliverance. That's the safest place to be, is to trust the God of Israel. How's that? You got the book. You've got a Bible that tells you what the God of Israel said. And faith brings rescue. You trust the God of Israel. That's where life is. That's where life is found. Third thing is, faith is renewal. It brings about a new life. Puts the old things away, brings out a new life. Just like for Rahab, totally new life. She gets married. She has kids. She has a great son named Boaz. She's in the line of Jesus Christ. She's the great-great-grandmother of David. Just all kinds of great things in her new life. No longer living in the red light district and all that kind of thing. Faith is a renewal. Another thing about faith, last couple things, faith appears risky, but actually it's not risky. It's the safest thing to do, to be on God's side of this, whatever his side is in this matter. And if there's not a clear right or wrong, if there's not a clear this side or that side, the safe side is, be at peace, be trying to edify, love each other. Those are the right side of the Lord. So faith appears risky, but in the end it's not. It's not risky at all. It's the safest place to be. And then faith finally reconciles the sinner to God. And I love that Rahab is used as an illustration here, because even more concrete than that, in reality, Rahab seems like the farthest person away from God that you could be. Her profession, her nationality, all of these things go against her life. But faith is the thing that reconciles her. The fact that she believes the God of Israel. Now she's brought into the fold. She's brought into the fold in a powerful way, and she's made a child of God. She's put into the line of Christ. All of those things. So faith reconciles the sinner to God. So you find all of these sort of elements of faith in this little illustration of Rahab's life. So I hope that's helpful. We'll be done by noon here. You got a song, Ben? You want to sing? Let's wrap this up with a little song. Be encouraged about faith. Learn from it. Be instructed by Rahab's faith. Let's sing a song, and then we will be dismissed. What do you got?
97 and hymnal. We'll sing the first and the last verse of I Need Thee Every Hour, page 97. I need every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I